So without any further ado, I'd like to bring Rhonda up.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a wonderful weekend, huh? This has been really, really special to me, and I want to tell you a little story about Annie before I talk about Roseanne, because Annie's just one of those people, and if you're in our, the thing I don't like about our Colorado is we're also, like, certain people go to this meeting, and certain people, and we have to because it's too far away, right? Like, I would love to see you gals in meetings, right? But, like, your meeting is way over here, and my meeting's way over here. But I've had the pleasure of seeing Annie's body change and her insides change and her, like, I've been able to witness the result of her working her program. So I can only tell you, I had this gig I was doing about a month ago in Washington, and I just kept pitching at my meeting because, see, and I'm going to probably blubber through this because the thing that's so profound for me is the I put my hand in yours piece of our fellowship. And I really believe that my 100-pound weight loss, which is really, you know, it is because I keep holding hands, right? It's really hard to overeat if you're holding hands, you know? Because you can't really put anything in your mouth. And when I came back, I was somebody who in 1994, I'd come in 1992 into OA, and I lost all my weight, and I thought I was perfect, and I didn't eat hardly anything, and if I didn't hear from the people I was sponsoring, I would call them, and I would, and my it's weird to say ex-husband, but I like to say former. My former husband would say to me, like, because I smoked cigarettes like a fiend, right? And I'm not judging that either. Smoke them if you got them. I have no opinion on cigarettes. I'm just telling you that my former husband would say, you steam a cigarette like a mental patient, right? There'd be a red on that cigarette. Right? But I was abstinent. I wasn't eating anything. Right? It was kind of hilarious, but and sad and pathetic all at the same time, because I'm just an addict, and you know, and that's like, and again, I have no opinion. I have absolutely no opinion on that. That's just what I did to replace, like, when I wasn't eating, when I was under eating, you know. But and then I gained in 1994 when I left OA, because I thought that I was thin and I was perfect and I was blonde and I was beautiful and I was in Hollywood and I was an actress and fuck Overeaters Anonymous. That's a stupid thing and I'm not going anymore. And I gained 75 pounds in 4 months. So this, you know, beautiful, blonde, perfect actress couldn't survive without Overeaters Anonymous, because that's what I have the ability, you know, to gain 75 pounds in 4 months. And I always tell, for those of you I don't know, I'll just tell you, I was in a wedding from someone in OA that I knew in 1994. And when I fitted for the dress in March, I was a size 4-6. And when that wedding rolled around, I was a 18-20. And we had to sew panels of fabric into the sides of the dress. And it was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. But I will tell you that that's the person that got married that year was the person who reached out her hand to me. So we found fabric that matched the dress and we sewed the panels in, and I showed up, right? I showed up in my size 18-20 dress for that wedding. So I think if I have any sort of message at all, it's just like, keep holding hands and keep showing up. Like, and if you're isolated, and I just think that's so, it's hilarious when we're sitting in a meeting room at a convention, but when it's not hilarious is when we're sitting at home in the dark with the shades pulled eating, which I know all of you know what I'm talking about, or throwing up, or whatever you do, whatever it is you do in the privacy of your own home, right? And I know what I do, and I know what I did, and I don't do that anymore, you know? I don't do that anymore. So when I came back from, I'm going to finish my story about Annie. So I kept pitching, because somebody told me, and when my friend Jan, her name was Jan too, where's our Jan? Or her, the woman who saved my life in 1994, her name was Jan. She was a member of Overeaters Anonymous who came to my little guest house that I was living in, and I had parked my car down the street. Like, I was isolated. Like, this person that you guys know that talks and goes places and stands up and whatever, I was totally isolated, and I had parked my car on another street so no one would know if I was there or not. And Jan, it was my Jan that got the landlord to have opened the key, and I was hiding in the closet. I mean, I know that's really dramatic, but that's just the truth, right? I was 260 pounds, and I was hiding in the closet because I was afraid to go outside. So anyway, so my Jan threw me in the shower and took me to a meeting, and it was just like an alcoholic, like when I, it was just like an alcoholic, you know, I was literally thrown in the shower and taken to a meeting, like a fucking blackout drunk, right? So anyway, Jan told me, and I heard, that was the first time when I went back to that meeting, and I'm going to weave this into Annie and Roseanne, but she took me to a meeting, and that was the first time that I heard that prayer, "I put my hand in yours." And I remember Jan squeezing my hand and going, "And together we can do what we could never do alone. Like, stop trying to do this by yourself, because you wind up fat in the closet. Just stop it." So, and that's when I heard somebody say, you will never have to be alone again unless you choose to be. So, cut to 20 years later, 100 pounds later, I get asked to go do this thing in Region 1. I'm petrified, and I'm, because I still think, you know, and again, just so you know, 100 pounds later, 20 pounds later, we still have the same feelings on the inside. I still don't think I'm good enough. I still don't think I'm worthy. I still don't think I'm worthy of, why did they ask me to go talk at this thing? Like, what do I have? And I was mortified and completely panicked in fear. And then I thought, maybe somebody will go with me. So at my home meeting, I just kept pitching, like, if anybody wants to go to Washington with me, that would be really cool. And you can stay in my room, and I bet we could get you a deal on the registration. And I just kept pitching it out because I was told I will never have to be alone again. And 2 weeks before this thing happened, Annie called me up, and she goes, and somebody was going to go, and then they couldn't, and then somebody else was going to go, and then they couldn't. And I was like, that's okay, because I trust God no matter what, right? And even if nobody had been able to go, I would have still been fine. But 2 weeks before the thing, 2 weeks prior, Annie goes, calls me up, and she goes, you know, I've got frequent flyer miles and hotel points, and I can go for free. I just have to go this day and come back this day. Anyway, she was with me holding my hand. Okay? And that was our Annie, who was this chairperson of this convention, who didn't have time, right? That was just a month. She was busy. Okay? But I'm telling you, it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And when somebody shows up, because Annie, and if you want to know how to get what she's got, and I know, because we don't have to be anonymous in the program, so it's, I think it's okay for what I'm saying. And, you know, do what, if you want what people have, you got to do what they do, right? Annie shows up. Annie holds hands. And she's gotten a miraculous recovery in place of it. And then I've been able to, because again, I had like, I was a hot mess. I almost missed my flight. And then I hadn't eaten lunch. So by the time I'm checking in the hotel, I'm crying because I didn't have my room. Crying. I'm not kidding you. Well, those to come in as no surprise to anyone that I was crying, I guess. Okay, whatever. I guess that's really not a big surprise, is it? But Annie's like, okay, calm down. We need to get you some lunch. Literally holding my hand and taking me and getting me some lunch. It's like, it's time for your next feeding. Let's calm down. It's time. It's well past time. So anyway, so I believe that is a perfect introduction to talking about Roseanne. And on my 10th birthday of this particular abstinence, I decided to go to, I was living here at the time, and I there was this meeting that I never thought I was good enough to go to in Los Angeles, and it was in Beverly Hills somewhere, and it was the meeting that Roseanne talked about last night, and it's called Serenity Sunday. If you ever go to LA and you want to go to a really cool meeting, and it has hundreds of people there, or did. I don't know what it's like now, but I went for my 10th birthday by myself and checked myself into a hotel in Beverly Hills and went to this meeting to take my 10-year candle. And I talked about that first day back at that meeting, and you have to sign up like for, and just so you know, it's just so great when the program is this, because it really is kind of like a big AA speaker meeting there. And you know, you have to go, if you're taking a birthday, you got to show up like 30 minutes ahead of time and sign in for your day. And then they give, like, you know, whoever's taking a 2-year birthday or a 3, like, they line them up, right? Because there was like 7 birthdays the day that I went to take my birthday candle. And I I stood up and I talked about it before they gave me the candle. And I said, you know, Roseanne, and I kept saying her name. I'm like, Roseanne, that prayer about I put my hand in yours, because that changed my life. It changed my life that we're supposed to hold hands. And I said that same thing, like, it's hard to overeat when you're holding hands. Like, reach out if you're in the darkness. And I'm like, I'm so profoundly grateful to Roseanne, and I can't believe she founded this program. And what would I do without Roseanne? And I don't know what happened because I went out and I relapsed and I gained 80 pounds. Like, what the fuck would I have done? And then the person handing me my candle, she goes, I'm Roseanne. And I go, oh, thank you, Roseanne, but it didn't click. And she goes, she goes, no, and because I had talked about Roseanne only in my whole thing, and she goes, no, honey, and she took my hand, she goes, I'm Roseanne. And I'm like, Roseanne? And it was so sweet, and she hugged me, and I cried, and she sat with me, and I got to go to a little coffee thing with her and these other ladies, and it was just, it was one of the great, you know, I've barked up a lot of trees. We've all done a lot of, you know, cool stuff and whatever. That was, I'm going to go ahead and say it was the single greatest day of my life. That's all. It was just the single greatest day of my life. Because, you know, and you think about, I think about all the outside, like, right? And I really mean that from the bottom of my soul when I say that, because I think about all the things we get from the outside world, right? Like, whatever we're doing in our job, wherever we're at with our relationships, how many babies we have, whatever, all the ways that we judge ourselves, right? But the way that I, like, and the only measuring stick that I have is the one that's right inside my soul, and it's the one, and the only way that it seems to work, this measuring stick, is by how immersed I am with you. So over 20 years, like, no matter what, like, if I'm having problems with my food, I can guarantee you I'm not connected to the program. If I'm having trouble, I'm isolating. And see, it's an insidious thing that we do, you guys. We can isolate while still attending meetings, while still taking phone calls, right? I can isolate, like, I have this level, like, okay, we develop this program personality. And it's like, oh, I can just, yeah, okay, I'm gonna call you, do good, have a good day, okay, bye-bye. You know, and then go to the meeting, pitch at the meeting, you know, and I've had a really deep, like, my 20th year has just been the most humbling experience, because I finally am able to say, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not anybody but another compulsive overeater who apparently doesn't know how to work step 6 and 7. But see, when you put that out, when you can say that, like, I've got help. I've got people coming in to help me go through, because I need to ask for help too. And so again, in my 20th year, just like my first year, I get to learn that I have to reach out and ask for help, because I think that I don't need help anymore, you know. And I just think we compulsive overeaters, I don't know what it is about us, and I don't, because I don't understand it. I don't understand the magic of that. I don't understand the magic of what happens when one of us is connected to the other. I just know that it's the magic that makes me my best self. You know, it's the magic that makes me who I am, and the best version of myself is an abstinent member of Overeaters Anonymous who's connected with others and who spends her time in convention rooms and podiums and meeting rooms and basements of churches. And I wish that weren't true, because I'd love to be doing any other thing, I got to tell you. You know, I would love to be like, so, you know, I would love to, you know, take this personality somewhere, and I think it should be making money. I think it should be, you know, but see, like, this is my gift. This is my gift, and you're my people, just like you're my people. You're my people, right? So I get to hang out with you guys, and it wasn't enough for me a long time, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe even last year, but it, not only is it enough for me today, it feeds my soul, because I know that you're, you know, because when you guys tell me that I'm so great because of you, because I'm connected to you. My power and my beauty and my abstinence and my recovery comes from being connected with you. And I believe that that's the gift that Roseanne gave us. And I can't believe it was so neat to see her last night. I don't know who thought that up. You know, I got to tell you, that was beautiful. That was so incredibly beautiful. Jim did that. I mean, I've never seen that. I don't know where you found that. And it was, it just was the one of the most profound. I just loved that. I absolutely loved that. And seeing her talk about the program and how funny she was too, I forgot, because I didn't really, I've listened to her on some tapes and literally on cassette tapes back when that was, you know, for you young people, they were cassette tapes that we used to pass around to each other. Oh my God. You know what? Jan just said there was 8 tracks. I'm so sorry that I missed the 8-track phase, but I wasn't born till 65. And I'm gonna close by reading you. And again, I can only plug too that, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, like the more you know about this history, I think the more connected you'll be to who we are. The more you claim ownership, and I like to say we, the more we claim ownership of the, see, because I feel my family tree in this, like we all date back to Roseanne. Like I feel my family history in this book, right? And so read this book, and again, put something else in your hands, right? Like that's my whole deal. Like I'm not going to tell you that I don't want to compulsively overeat, you know, I can't say that, you know, but I can tell you that I always put something else in my hands, always, you know. And I used to say you've got 12 things to do, and then Mike corrected me one time from the podium. Wait, 12 step, and I, because I said you've got 12 things to do, and he slips me this note that says, how many, 36? Is it 36 thing? 36, 12 steps, 12 traditions, 8 tools. And I'm like, oh, thank you very much. 12 concepts. I've got way more. See, I've got things to do that I haven't even read, okay? 20 years later. So what I'm going to read to you is this, because Roseanne is just explaining how the title of the book came from the visual image, I Put My Hand in Yours. And as you know, that's my spiritual experience. And she writes, as I wrote the first page, I closed my eyes and pictured myself reaching out to my OA sisters and brothers. It was as if I were talking to them, measuring them with our collective experience, strength, and hope. In the book, we offered suggestions based on our own experience, everything from setting up chairs to the importance of quiet and courtesy during the meeting. We discussed group officers, sponsorship, anonymity, money, literature, and public attraction. We also described the OA Lifeline, our General Service Office, the annual conference, and the Board of Trustees. Many other details were covered, everything we could think of to help the newcomer and groups in their search for stability and strength. And then this closes with the first paragraph of the original book that they're describing, which is I Put My Hand in Yours, is the promise to compulsive overeaters everywhere. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. And see, I'm going to pause to say, I can't tell you, I can't speak for you, but I've tried to stand on my willpower. And that's my ego, right? We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. As we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. And I know we say that, and then we kind of like trail off at the end, but it's, I think if we fully digest, and I like to use, and I mean fully digest, right? Because when I compulsively overate, I never fully digested anything. And I love my friend Mike said last night, and I don't think it was in a meeting. I think it was in my room. He said, I tasted the first bite. Like, right, I ate however many donuts. I tasted the first bite of the first one, and I never, and 36 of them later, I couldn't tell you what it tastes like, right? And that's like, so digest. I think when you fully digest this prayer, it means like grow your fellowship, right? And I get so, and if you're one of the people who say it, I'm going to apologize in advance, but when people say I hate the phone, it's like, you know what, you can hate it all you want to, that's cool, hate it, pick it up. I don't care if you hate it, I don't like it either. Sometimes when my phone rings, I'm like, oh God, right? But you know what, I answer it. And then I call my sponsor, and then liking it is not, you don't have to like anything. You don't have to like abstinence. You don't have to like the phone. You don't have to like the tools. You don't have to like meetings. You just have to do them, and don't put your energy towards hating them. All of my energy is toward trying to get myself to do the things that seem humanly impossible for me to do. Right. And then the last thing I want to read you is, it comes from page 23 of I Put My Hand in Yours, and it's how Roseanne closed out this particular book, and it's called The Bond of Brotherhood. Again, it's us together. Brotherhood, sisterhood, call it whatever. In assuming responsibility. And again, that's a, there's another, like, in assuming responsibility. And that means I'm responsible for you. You're responsible for me. We're responsible to and for each other. That's what assuming responsibility means. So when I'm cleaning up a kitchen at my job, because part of my job is cleaning up after people. I've done it for 15 years, and that means cleaning up after birthday parties, cleaning up after group lunches, cleaning up when the office is fed, stocking candy and soda and alcohol. That's part of my job in the world. But you know what I think of when I'm cleaning up stuff that I don't eat by myself in a basement? Because nobody's looking, right? But I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to myself, and I have a responsibility to you, because I'm responsible to and for you and for our recovery. So a lot of times now that I have a cell phone and an earpiece, I'll call somebody, because nobody, trust me, nobody's helping me clean up. I'll tell you that much, right? But instead of being caught in that resentment, I don't resent that. It's my job. I'm the office manager, but that means you clean up after everybody and make the coffee and answer the phone. That's what that means, right? But I'm okay with that, too, because I'm in total acceptance of my job in the world. I don't fight that stuff. That's just where I make my money. Who I'm really working for is I got in my earpiece and I'm cleaning up birthday cake and I'm calling another compulsive overeater, because I'm responsible to and for you. So in assuming responsibility, in sharing love and strength with one another, we create a bond between each of us. It can't be seen, but it can be felt in the heart. It's the bond of brotherhood between one overeater and another, which clearly says, I care, I put my hand in yours, and now you are not alone. So that's all, and that's all I got. I just want to tell you not to, don't be alone. If you're alone at any point here, like, don't let that happen. Grow your fellowship. You know, and reach out your hands. And that's all I have. Thank you.
She got away before I could give her a hug. I have to catch you later. So, thanks, Rhonda. I'm going to go ahead and ask Emily to come on up, and she's going to do our final activity for the morning, actually for the whole weekend, and it's on reentry so that we can figure out a way to get down from the mountain.
Thanks, Emily.
Okay.
The podium is too tall for me.
She's getting started. If you ask me for your phone number, I gave you the wrong number.
I don't really want to talk to you.
No, I just want to think. So come to the afternoon with the right number. Sorry.
Thanks. I'll just couldn't print this, so sorry to read off of my computer. I feel like this. Unprofessional, but then again, we're not professional, so.
That's right. If you want to sit, then I'll put this close to you.
No, I don't.
Are you on a stand?
I'm sitting anymore. Okay. Thank you.
Got it?
Yeah. Something like that. Probably good. Okay. I'm Emily. I'm a recovering compulsive eater.
Hi.
Hi. And I really wanted to do reentry and action plan because I've had so many experiences of going to a profound meeting or a profound retreat and not being able to deal with the going home afterwards. And I think some of it might be, and you might be able to identify with some of this, feeling this sense of belonging while you're here and then having to leave, like being a part of something where people totally understand you. And then you get in your car and you think about whether you're going home to someone that doesn't get you quite this way or whether you're going home to someplace where you're by yourself. And just that loneliness starts to come on. And it can be really hard to take. And also the feeling of safety that I have here, this like, there's no matter what happens, like if I cut my finger, like probably 10 people would offer me a Band-Aid, you know. I'm very emotional too. So going from this feeling of safety to just a feeling where fear starts to come back in as I return back to my real world. And then another thing was there's a sense of purpose here. It's like a sense of like single-minded purpose. We're all here for recovery. I don't have to really think about anything else for 2 days. You don't have to check your email, you know, unless you really need to. And then we go back to chaos and a lot of different things trying to get our attention. And indecision is something that is really hard. It's like there's only one thing to think about when we're here. And then we go back and all these different things. So I've left meetings before, profound meetings, and ate because I couldn't deal with the loneliness and the fear and the indecision that was the transition from this wonderful space. So I decided that let's help each other and let's make an action plan.
So
An action plan is the process of identifying and implementing attainable actions, both daily and long-term, that are necessary to support our individual abstinence and emotional, spiritual, and physical recovery. So I'm going to give you time to write if you want to. I've heard some people groaning about writing and you're sick of writing. So if you just want to think in your mind, that's fine. But I'm someone that has a sort of a loose food plan. But I notice that when I come back from a retreat, it's really important for me to have a written and specific food plan to get over the day of difficulty of transition. So I'm going to give us a couple different topics and like 2 minutes to write on each one. So first of all, I'm just going to give everyone time to write right now really quickly what you want your food to look like the rest of the day and tomorrow, because that's really an important piece of bringing this retreat with you. And if you don't want to write, you can talk to God about it in your mind. We'll do 30 more seconds, and you can, of course, pick this up and finish it after we're all done, like while you're sitting in your car. So the next piece, I'm so glad that Rhonda talked about reaching out, how important that is, because the next piece is addressing the loneliness feeling that we have when we go home. So can you write down someone that you'll call or someone that you'll check in with when you get home, just to talk about how your reentry is going? And if you don't have someone, turn to the person that's sitting next to you and get their number. Thank you. So the next piece is, we've talked at this retreat about perfectionism and finding the middle ground. Sometimes after a retreat, I can feel overwhelmed because now I'm going to go home and just do everything perfectly because I have all these great ideas. And then the list of ways that I'm going to, you know, suddenly I'm going to have 4 hours before I go to work in the morning to meditate and swim laps and pray. I love that idea. You know, it's not going to happen. From four today, they said, I'm from four today, page 156. I'm not so different from most people, so just as I would not demand perfection from others, I do not demand it of myself. I am as loving, tolerant, and understanding of myself as I am of other compulsive overeaters. So what are a few things you'd like to take from this retreat that you'd like to start doing at home, bearing in mind that we're not going to make an impossible list and then berate ourselves for making that impossible list? So touching on the tool of meditation, let's just take a moment to bring to mind some memory that you have from this retreat that really signifies program, safety, togetherness, maybe higher power for you. Make a visual image of that, and it's something that you can come back to during meditation or just a moment of breath. For the tool of meditation, make a picture, a mental image of something that happened during this retreat that reminds you of togetherness, higher power, something that you want to take with you so that when you have a 10-second breath, you can bring to mind this visual image of something from this retreat. And the last piece is how to, how for me, this may or may not be relevant for other people, how to talk to other people in my life about what this weekend was that weren't in OA. So when I come back, my husband's like, well, how was the retreat? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's hard to explain, and sometimes I feel like trying to explain it to him diminishes the energy that I'm carrying in myself. So I was reading online what somebody was saying about coming back from retreats, and they said, divert the conversation. The mountains were beautiful. The sky was blue. The weather was great. You know, the drive was fine. And then you can also be allowed to say, I'm not ready to talk about it, but thank you so much for asking. And protect what we've nurtured here. And then I guess when we were talking about this with Amy and Marcia, we were talking about how to talk about God or higher power and your decision-making process with people that don't share that process, you know. So if my stepkids are like, well, we want to go out for dinner, you know, instead of eat at home, then I'm like, well, I need to ask God whether we should go out for dinner or not, you know. And I find after these retreats I have a renewed feeling like I want to bring God into my daily decision making after I come home from these retreats, but it can be hard to explain that to other people, I guess. So if that's just an issue for me. So if that's an issue for you, maybe you could take a few minutes to jot down something that you might say when you're bringing God into your life with other people. So, and I've heard people say, for example, just let me take a minute to think about that. They don't know that you're asking God. So if you have some things, I don't know if that makes any sense, but some way to write down how you can be with God in life with other people. All right, and then the very last thing, I don't want anyone to go home without a sponsor. So if with everyone that's available to sponsor, please stand up. And if you don't have a sponsor, please look around and talk to one of these people after the meeting. All right, thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
So Emily left us a little bit of extra time so that we can actually go and talk to those people who stood up as being available as sponsors. So a couple more housekeeping types of things. There's a whole stack of magazines on the back table from the vision boarding and maybe even from the writing workshops. So they're available if you want them. Otherwise,
the markers that were in there.
The markers. Oh, those are Gina's, I think. So. So if there are scissors around that have people's names on them. So there's a couple on the table back there, I know, and they're not; those aren't them. So if you, if they have either Marcia's or Amy's name on them, or anybody else's, if you can try to get those back to the people that they belong to, that would be wonderful. I know there are still some supplies in the hospitality room that need to be picked up before you go. So yes. Oh, okay. So they're going to let us go in there. So checkout time is at 12, correct? Okay. Well, it's we have 12, so the regular time is 11, but they've given us an extra little bit of time. Yeah, 12 o'clock. Oh, you're leaving. Well, if you need to make additional arrangements, you need to just talk to the hotel. So it would be most appropriate, I think, for us to say, I put my hand in yours, which is printed on the back of your journal if you brought it with you. And we definitely do have to hold hands. Yes, Chris?
Can you say something about the recordings?
Oh, the recordings. Yes, yes, I was going to do that. Okay, so I'm sorry. I need to just tell you about the recordings. So, or Jim, do you want to talk about that? You can.
Okay. Just want to thank everybody who participated in one of the sessions or any of the sessions or multiple sessions. You are all awesome.
Thank you.
This year we're going to do something different, and we're going to make all of the sessions, everything, and about 2 weeks. We're going to try to cold. I also do the Recovery Road, and we work in hand in hand with Tom Gray on the website and with Heidi on the email blast. And so, when all three of those will get updated, same time we'll let you know that there'll be links for downloads for everything for free.
Yeah. We don't need your money for recording. We're giving it away for free. Yes. So after we say Roseanne's prayer and before you leave the room, there are two boxes.
Two.
One back here by the water/coffee station and one here by the front door where it asks for your name badges, but we'd also like you to just go ahead and put the evaluations in there. If you just fold them in half, they'll fit in the box better. Yeah, Carrie? Sure, if you want to take time to think about it, the P.O. Box for CCI is on the Recovery Road, and for those of you who are not Denver-ish and Grand Junction-ish people, or part of CCI and don't regularly get Recovery Road or know where it's at, our website is oadenver.org, and that's again where you're going to find the recordings and that kind of thing. So if you just go to the little link that says newsletter, then you can find the latest copy of the Recovery Road, and on the back of the Recovery Road is our P.O. Box. I don't know the exact fours and sixes and threes and ones that are included in that number, or I'd give it to you. So, and also, if you're interested and want to sign up for email information, there's a place on the website to do that, and you don't have to be a part of the Central Colorado. I mean, if you are part of Central Colorado, you know, then you'll get events and stuff that are going on in Central Colorado. But, you know, if you're Northern Colorado or Southern Colorado, you're absolutely welcome to sign up on the website for updates from there, too. Yes, Marcia. Okay, so Marcia's still looking for three pairs of scissors. Big, right, real, real big scissors probably were used for the vision boards. Okay. Okay.
There's nothing, I emptied the Dillon room. There's nothing else in the Dillon room. Everything I brought from the Dillon room is back on the... on the back table there.
Okay. Sure, Bev. Come on up.
This is for Grand Junction people. Well, everybody. Many of you know that the Grand Junction and Montrose usually offer a clean retreat. And we are going ahead with that. But Montrose people have kind of spoken about it. But there's a strong core of us at Grand Junction that want to keep it going. Especially after this weekend.
So, start planning that thing now.
Ownership changes in the last few years, but I think a big company is running it now from what I heard. And we've been doing an outreach contact for them to find out if they can help us. And the cool thing is they cook for us too. We decided to do it, but cook what we need. So.
And they cook all the meals?
Yeah, they'll do all the meals.
Little plug for this. And
the, I will put stuff on
Woohoo! It's a long one. So oadenver.org is the easy one to remember, and it'll be definitely on there. Yes.
Traditionally, we call that retreat the weekend after Mother's Day.
Correct. So, yeah, middle of May when it's snow's a melting, and I'll just put in a little plug for that retreat. I went a couple of years ago, and it was wonderful. It really was. We got these little cool boxes with bookmarks in them, and they really did. I mean, for being a small contingent of people up on the Western Slope, they did a great job. Anybody else? Going once. Yes, Tiffany.
So last year at the end of the convention, when we did with Aaron Clare, we went around when we started to put him next to them, and he started not holding hands. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. You want to do that? Okay. So what she's talking about is when we circle up, we're going to circle up, but we're not going to join hands. So what we're going to do is one person will start, and since it was Tiffany's idea, she gets to start. Okay. So what you do is you turn to the person next to you and you say, "I put my hand in yours because you're worth it." Correct? Is that the way you did it? Oh, because I want to show you that I care. Okay. Because I care. Okay, so that's what we're going to say. I put my hand in yours because I care. So once you receive the person's hand who is standing next to you, then you turn to the person standing next to you and you say, "Name, I put my hand in yours because I care." So hopefully everybody's got their name tag on, or you stand next to somebody who you know. Or before we do that, so let's go ahead and let's go to the empty space over there and circle up.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.